Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. We have finally reached that time of the year again where swimmers are being taken out of drawers, decorations are being dusted off, and shoppers are hitting the sales to grab some early gifts. Yes, we are just a month out from Christmas and the new year. So before we fully slide into holiday mode, we wanted to do a serious dive into what you, yes, you, dear listener, might want to think about adding to your Christmas list. And no, we are not talking about a new pair of AirPods or a smartwatch. Today, we are talking about some stocks for your stocking. Yes, that's right. We are back for our second annual Stocks for Your Stocking episode, and joining us once again, ready to impart his wisdom on the subject, is a friend of the podcast, money contributor and chief investment analyst at Wealth Within, Dale Gillam. Dale, great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me back. I must have done an okay job last Christmas time with my Stocks for Your Stocking podcast back then. So thank you again for trusting me.
Of course, Dale. Actually, I went and had a little look back on what we talked about last year and how things did. And, you know, listeners can do their own look if they like, but things did pretty well. So hopefully this year's the same. Dale, before we get into some specific stocks, I'd love it if you could give us a bit of the lay of the land in terms of where the markets are right now. And I will say, for full transparency, we are recording on November 21. So things could obviously change before this goes to air. We've had one major event in the past month and a couple of others across the world that continue to boil on. So Dale, how have the markets been performing recently?
It's actually quite interesting with our market, at least over the last 12 months, probably even longer than that, the last couple of years. It's been one where we haven't had a lot of positivity, if I can say that. And markets do run on confidence. A lot of people think, it runs on all these economic metrics, and it sort of does. But if we're not confident in the market, we're not investing. So we've seen periods where our market's just gone sideways for months on end, breaking through to new all-time highs. And we've just broken through to a new all-time high just in the last few days. And so the market technically is quite bullish, but we're still a little bit reserved in that bullishness, if that makes sense. Trends take time to unfold, and obviously they're born on pessimism and then they peak on optimism, which we see then big crashes coming from after all that. Whereas we're still under pessimism because the general economic outlook on Australia is not super, super strong at the moment. Obviously, with interest rates where they are, and there's a lot of, I think we're sort of, I'm not going to say we've got a two-speed economy, but we've sort of got this economy where you've got those in sort of the baby boomers retiring, still spending money and going traveling and et cetera. Try and book a cruise ship at the moment. There's a lot of baby boomers traveling. They got pent up during COVID, but then you've got a whole lot of other people that are just struggling. And so that's holding our market back. So whilst the All Ordinaries Index has gone up just over 9.5% this year since 1 January, that's pretty good. The Australian market average is somewhere between 9 and 12% per annum on any sort of 10-year basis. It's a great investment vehicle. But what we've seen is the market's been driven mainly by the top stocks, which is normal starting a bull market. And this is where it's a real big signpost when you start seeing that the top 20-odd stocks pushing the market with them, then you're actually getting the start of a bull market, because at the end of the bull market, they're the ones coming off and all of the smaller stocks are pushing the market higher to more highs, because that optimism is in that marketplace where the big top stocks are starting to come off. And it happens, happened in 87 crash, it happened with the GFC crash, it's happened other crashes that I've studied where the big stocks come off. And we've seen the top 20 this year so far up 8.4%, the top 50, 9.54%. And remembering the All Ords is up 9.57%. So when you're talking about getting out of that top 50 stock, which is the lion's share of our market, I mean, if we look at just financials and materials, that's half of our market, and they're all in the top 20 stocks. And if you look at outside that top 50, so the broader market hasn't been super bullish, not to say there's not opportunities there, but it hasn't been super bullish. But looking at our market at the moment, it is looking strong. I think we're going to be bullish for at least 18 months to 2 years. And then I'm thinking we're going to be peaking out somewhere around 2027 and then be having probably another crash in our market. We'll be due for a crash on our market around sort of 2027-ish. So we might even peak in 2026 and have a low in 2027. Nothing to worry about right at the moment. It just keep that in your in the back of your mind that if you are retiring in the next couple of years. And this is the sort of stuff I was saying prior to the GFC, you know, in 2005 and six, and telling people this to be careful, you know, moving into that highs into 2007. I'm saying, you know, you need to be pulling back, not going harder now. And that's generally the opposite of what people do. Because if you are retiring, you need to make sure that you don't have yourself fully invested in a volatile asset like the stock market. You pull back a little bit, let the speculators take the high risk. But right now, the market's looking really, really good.
Well, I think that's some excellent points for people to bear in mind. But let's focus in on some of those opportunities that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. There are there any, I guess, particular companies that you think maybe are worth a look at the moment, and where would you like to start?
I think to me, I look at the market in technically and also fundamentally, but I try and look at what is not hot. Because the money moves from different areas. So we've seen information technology this year being the huge outperformer on our marketplace. And, you know, it's massively, it's gone up about 20%. It's gone off over 20%, where things like materials it's been very, very sluggish this year. Materials, financials have done really well as well. But I tend to look at the sectors that aren't doing quite as well. And if we go into just a minute, talking a little bit about materials, you mean BHP, Rio and Fortescue, the three big ones in that area. Now, they've really not done that well. I mean, Rio's down significantly this year. But I'm actually excited about them for 2025, simply because, you know, they've come off post-election. They got a bit of a boost with Donald Trump becoming president. And the market was a bit subdued before that because, you know, the world didn't know whether it was Trump or Harris going to be president. And now we know that it's going to be Trump and his stance on renewables and also, you know, fossil fuels and wanting to get more fossil fuels back into the US economy. That's given BHP, Rio and Fortescue gave them a little bit of a boost, but they've come off again. But I still like all of those three stocks for next year, not just right now, because I think what the surprise is going to happen is China, obviously the tariffs that Trump's talking about with China. China's going to retaliate somehow, and I would assume that they're going to be doing stimulus measures to stimulate their economy. And if they do that, BHP, Rio, Fortescue are all going to benefit from all of that. And sure, coming off these big lows, I think there's some great opportunities now for that medium term plus longer term type of portfolio, put stocks to put in your portfolio. The other area I like is energy, stocks such as Woodside Energy and Santos. Because they've been, again, languishing really, really low. And energy's sort of been on the nose this year, if that makes sense. There's a lot of people, we took so much talk about renewables, but you're looking at these stocks, they're re-emerging, if that makes sense. And they're going through changes to obviously cater for, you know, the next 10, 20, 30 years. But given energy production needs across the world, I think they'll do pretty well. But and real estate's another one I do like. It's, you know, with rising global bond yields, it's putting pressure on property stocks, but to me, it has done quite well this year. But gold's down though, so de-risking at the moment. That's all gone off, and now that's a bit more risk coming into the market, and there's where the plays are. So, to me, I'm looking at materials, healthcare, and energy for next year as good areas. I'm not saying that information technology won't be good. But information technology is pretty top heavy with Xero, obviously, and some of those other big tech stocks. Broadly, I think tech will still go and there'll be opportunities there, but I think healthcare materials and energy are going to be the better areas. And in healthcare, I like Sonic Healthcare. It's pathology, imaging, clinical services, but, you know, it's declined from 2021, but it's right now at real crucial sort of levels for that stock. And I think it can rally, you know, up to around $36, you know, with a nice longer term move there. But it's still at the moment, if it doesn't find support where it is, it could go lower. But at the moment, if it starts to move up in the next few months, I think it's really, really good. I do like Woodside. I did mention that. I do like that stock. It's a good stock for people into 2025 as well. And it is in obviously fossil fuels, et cetera. But I think, you know, that area being unloved, it's going to be loved again. Whitehaven Coal's another one of those in that energy area that I do like as well. Again, coal has been one of those ones on the nose, but, you know, we still need to balance that out, and it has been hit pretty hard. But there's the outlook for coal is still very, very, very good, especially if China does stimulus and they need more of our coal. I think that's really, really good. A smaller one that I do like is electro-optic systems. Now, they were, and I wrote a summary for the MicroCap conference that was on in October here in Melbourne, and that got published by Money Magazine. So I think it was only went out about 2-3 weeks ago, and we did a rundown of top stocks. I think it was about 4 or 5 of those, and I believe one of them, from memory, I'm getting a little bit older, was Electro-Optic Systems, where they specialize in space and missile defense systems.
Oh, interesting.
So they've got the defense contracts, and it's a really nice company. I watched them present there, and I love going to the MicroCap conference for that sort of reason. But, you know, the stock price has surged 400% since March 2023. So right now it's trading sort of between 120 and 180-ish, or it was doing that. So I think if it breaks above that 180, it's going to be a great stock. Another one, a smaller one, is Weebit Nano. They didn't present at the MicroCap conference, but I do like it. But it's in the semiconductor space. And obviously AI being big, I think it's a really good stock for that. You know, it's aligning with that growing AI data centers, data application demands, pretty much sort of similar to NVIDIA has been. You know, that went so well, or has gone so well in 2024 in the US. It's come off in the last few days. But to me, I think Weebit Nano, from an Australian stock, it's looking really, really good there. But probably one of the other micro-cap stocks, and I know last year for the stocking stuff, as I did suggest, you know, my outlier or my little pet one was A2 Milk. And you were quite surprised that I picked A2 Milk and it went flying.
I remember that.
You know, it went flying, and it wasn't a long-term buy to me, and it went flying, and now it's down again. So it was a buy for a shorter period of time of 4 to 6 months. Did well, but I think one of the ones I like now is Bubs, and I'll tell you that for a reason. It's a small cap stock, and so micro caps you need to be careful with because they are higher risk, but they're some higher returns. Bubs is basically down at all time low levels, but they've during COVID there was a problem with milk powder products through the US. They couldn't get them in, and so they looked to Australia, and Bubs was right there, and Bubs got provisional approval from the FDA to sell their powdered milk products, especially goat milk, into the US, which opened a huge market for them. And they're going for full approval, and they'll get that. And that's what they were talking about at the MicroCap conference. So to me, an exciting one. It's only a matter of a few cents at the moment, but if you want to put a little bit of, you know, what do you call it, play money into it and hang on for the long term, I think that will really do well. But probably two other big stocks that I do like is S32. And Telstra for the longer term. S32 is a little bit volatile. Yeah, Telstra's been a real bit of one that tests your patience over the last few years. and it's wanting to get going, but it's holding back. And I keep my only analogy is it's sort of like a jack in the box. We're winding it up at the moment, but it's not going bang. So, you know, if it gets above sort of those, or this big sideways pattern that it's in right now, I think, you know, it's going to do really well over the next couple of years. And S32 is a bit of a volatile stock, but I think if China starts going, I think S32 will be a fantastic stock to own. You know, it went up quite well earlier this year when it had a very explosive sort of run, but then they downgraded their earnings on one area of their business a little bit, and it got punished by the market. It just gapped out of bed. But it's picked up over the last month or two, so it's looking a lot better. But they're sort of two to keep an eye on as well.
Dale, you've given us an absolute ton already, but before we start to wrap up, I want to get your thoughts on financials. Is there anything that interests you in, I guess, the financial sector or any banks in particular, or is it something that you're kind of steering clear of in the kind of part of time ahead?
Oh, look, you know, banks is not Commonwealth Bank, and even though it's all-time highs and around $150, I love Commonwealth Bank, and I've been, you know, talking about that all year. We've, on our YouTube recordings and our podcast, we've been talking about CommBank, and it's done really, really well. Where you've got stocks like Westpac and ANZ, of the big fours, I think I'd probably pick those, now for more growth out of those stocks for financials. Mm. I still think financials are going to do well next year. And obviously, if interest rates can't start to come down, banks are notorious for not passing on the full rate, which means it increases their margin. And interesting thing, though, that a lot of people think the banks make most of their money out of loans, where it's not necessarily the case. I know CommBank makes most of its money out of transactions, not necessarily loans. And it has the biggest loan book in Australia. But I think CommBank's got some more upside, but I think Westpac is better from a value point of view, and same with NAB, although I don't really like NAB as a stock much because it's generally not a great growth stock out of all the four banks. Generally, it's better. You're better off with Westpac, ANZ, and CommBank. Macquarie is another one I like, but I think also some of those second-tier banks like Bank of Queensland ones to watch, and possibly Bendigo Bank. But financials generally, I think still think will run next year. They just won't shoot the lights out, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Dale, you have given us so much to think about and potentially add to our stockings over Christmas. So thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll definitely have you back on next year as well, before Christmas, but also for Christmas if you're keen to make it three in a row.
Look, I'm always going to be there for you, Tom. No problems.
Well, it's lovely chatting, Dale.
You take care.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.